For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
There's no point in burying the lead. Joel Embiid is back. Joel Embiid is back. Yesterday was a tumultuous day for the Embiid news because we got word in the morning that he was trying to target a Tuesday return, and then he got downgraded to out. And then 3 hours later, he got re-upgraded to questionable gamesmanship. The Aristocrats. Embiid is back, and he looked good, and he played damn near 30 minutes also, which, I mean, good decision? Question mark? 29 minutes for Embiid, his first game out of the chute, was a lot more than expected. I mean, obviously good. Because he can be, he's a top 100 fantasy player in like 16 minutes. This is Joel Embiid we're talking about here. So 29 minutes, 24, 6, and 7 with 3 steals. Yeah, a lot of turnovers. Yeah, field goal percent was a little rusty. He did go 12 of 12 at the free throw line. Joel Embiid is back, ladies and gentlemen. That's good stuff. I'm Dan Vaspers. This is Fantasy NBA Today. One of our two shows here on this Wednesday morning. This is the recap show. We'll have our streaming episode. It won't be a That'd be a quicker one again, I think. That'll be first thing this afternoon here, Pacific time. As far as this one goes, we've got a nice little 9-gamer to recap. Folks always ask about the hats I wear on the show. I have a short rotation. Some of the ones that you guys are like, what the hell is that? Or why, I guess would be the question. Why is Dan wearing a Royals hat today? My kid was on the Royals for Little League. I'm an assistant coach. We get a hat. That's it. Nothing else. That's the whole story. Let's just dive right in, shall we? Yes, we shall. Lakers beat the Raptors, to no one's surprise. Raptors did get Emmanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett back, so that was certainly useful. They were a slightly more competent team for the minutes that those guys were on the court. As far as the Lakers go, you know, this game was over early, so LeBron, 28 and a half minutes. Anthony Davis, 27 and a half minutes. They didn't have to play all that much. AD didn't play in the fourth quarter. So then you kind of get the question of, are those guys going to play tonight for LA? They're in Washington on a back-to-back. It's not an easy travel deal. You got to do the customs stuff. I would expect LeBron to sit and AD to play. LeBron's been sitting back-to-backs here at the end of the year, but again, you never know. This is the Wizards won last night over the Bucks of all teams. I mean, that's a terrible loss. Wizards got their 15th win of the year. They've been a little bit more competitive lately to the in the Wizards' defense, and you know everybody always gets up to play the Lakers, so I don't think the Lakers can just assume they're going to walk through this ballgame. And that makes me think that if any of these guys is well enough to play, they will play. I wouldn't rule these guys out yet. And then as the rest of this stuff goes, it's all, you can just dump most of it. Rui Hachimura right now is doing enough, mostly because of field goal percent. Again, he also kind of got challenged to rebound a little bit more. So you can pretty much start the starters for the Lakers these days, even though Austin Reeves is in a wicked shooting slump right now. They still play. You got some nice stuff out of Max Christie off the bench. Wish he'd play more. They don't. Spencer Dinwiddie, he's been defending a lot, but again, you can't. There's no point in going down that rabbit hole. What about the Raptors? Bruce Brown left this ballgame early with some knee soreness. Not sure what his status is going to be. I think he's listed as doubtful right now. Kelly Olynyk is a go. 14-7-4, a steal, 2 blocks, great percentages. Like, it's just an easy call as long as he's not turning it over 5 times. Quickly, you can start again. His upside is capped by what's usually pretty brutal field goal percent. He shot the ball better in this one. Same general story for RJ Barrett, although for Barrett, he's batted both percentages when the season all rolls itself together. So he's a points league guy. Quickly's going to be good in points league or points formats. He'll be good enough, I would think, in nine cat as well. RJ Barrett, no for nine cat. Milwaukee, losers in Washington. Yikes. Yikes, I say. Yikes. Didn't really defend and didn't really shoot. No Dame again for the Bucks. So Patrick Beverley got the start. He didn't do very much. Turned an ankle in this ballgame. Couldn't finish it out. Malik Beasley played 30 minutes but shot 2 for 13. Youch. Also brutal. Typically when Dame is out, you'll get something out of Beasley. Beverley is more the maybe kind of guy in those spots. And maybe if he played a full 30 minutes, he would have been enough fantasy-wise. But I don't know that you can necessarily go down that path. Here's the thing. Originally, it looked like Dame was going to be out for personal reasons. Then it got changed to a groin thing. Or maybe it was a groin thing and a personal thing. In any event, I don't know that Dame is immediately back. There's no reason to rush him. Bucks have a solid seed in the Eastern Conference. They're not going anywhere. The Cavs are really the only team that has a true chance of catching them. I mean, maybe the Magic, but probably not. It takes a lot to move a few slots this late in the year. So if Dame sits, Dame sits. And in that case, if we find out Patrick Beverley is going to be well enough to play, I think I'd probably consider it. As a point guard who hits threes, rebounds, and gets defensive stats, it's a nice kind of out-of-position thing you can do. Beasley is more the three-point stream. That's, you know what you're going to get there. And then Pat Connaughton went big. Didn't see that one coming. But no, you're not doing anything with that information. Bobby Portis, probably streamable when Dame is out just because of the extra usage out there. I went in, I kind of looped around on this team, but hopefully you guys caught all the pieces. Beasley, threes streamer. Beverley, if healthy, I think playable in most formats with Dame out. Portis, most formats with Dame out. And that's as far as I go there. You may get some more guys resting. I think the Bucks are on a back-to-back question mark? Yeah, they got the Grizzlies at home. I don't know. You might see... I don't think Middleton plays. You might see Giannis go. All those guys out, you'd have to take a shot on Beasley, I would think. And definitely Portis... Beverley probably if he's playable, if he's healthy. Thinking about this all from more of the games cap standpoint. For the Wizards, no Kyle Kuzma and Marvin Bagley hurt again. Knee sprain left early in this ballgame. That sucks. He was going to put up a pretty good line, one would assume. They could certainly use Rashawn Holmes back. Tristan Vukovic played 31 minutes. He had 14 and 7 with a steal and a three-pointer. Overall, I think there's going to be a pretty gnarly learning curve there, so I'm not picking him up. I would rather just wait and hope Holmes shows back up again. Anthony Gill played 38 minutes and had 12 and 9 with nothing else. Avdija is a big winner there. He was already a guy you were playing, but if he sees some extra center minutes, that's a win for Denny. Poole, Kispert is a play when Kuzma's out. We've talked about that. Jared Butler's a guy I've got an eye on, but 17 and a half minutes ain't going to be enough. So what happens if this is the lineup for the next ballgame, which, again, is tonight against the Lakers? Although it feels like Kuzma probably wants to play against L.A. It feels like he was resting the front end of a back-to-back so that he could play the second half against the Lakers. But we won't know it for a little bit later. That's just my assumption on the Kuzma front. If Kuzma's in, I don't know that I play Kispert. Although, you know, Lakers do tend to have some issues defending guys that can spread the floor. But I'd be pretty gentle there. If Kuzma's in, you go Kuz, you go Poole, you go Avdija. That's probably it on a games cap side. If Kuzma's out, you put Kispert on the list instead of Kuzma. But I don't think I'm playing Gill. I don't think I'm playing Vukovic, especially if we think AD's going to play. Someone in that front court is going to get smashed on. And so you probably go a little lighter than you ought. The Knicks, they are a bit shorthanded these days. If Jalen Brunson doesn't have a world beater of a ball game, they're just not going to win. That's kind of where we're at with them, at least not against a competent opponent like Miami. Dante DiVincenzo rolling. Deuce McBride rolling with his 45 minutes again. Josh Hart, 45 minutes. Hartenstein, only 18. Mitchell Robinson played 10. Presser's due at 27. Hartenstein's a hold. He's been very good lately. Can't dump him after this one, after an 18-minute game when he was playing, you know, close to 30 in some previous ball games. Achiuwa with Robinson back likely trends to basically non-existent, and then Mitchell Robinson is just not playing enough to be relevant at all right now, so he's not an ad. So you go Brunson, Hart, McBride, DiVincenzo, Hartenstein. So basically the starters. Probably could have been a simpler handicap there if I just said start the starters. Duncan Robinson slow again for the Heat. I think I'd still stream him, though. He's generally been pretty good filling in for Tyler Hero. It's possible he doesn't really have his legs underneath him at the moment. Rozier had a big ball game, so that kind of did the trick here. Rozier, Butler, Bam, not Highsmith, not Jovic, not Caleb Martin, not Jaquez Jr. I think probably to Duncan Robinson. But if you want to see Robinson have one good ball game before you play him, I'm okay with that, just to kind of like see him get his sea legs again. OKC, no Shea in this ball game. I think they were missing someone else, but I forget who. Doesn't matter. Shea's the big one. Lost at Philly against the now Embiided. They've been Embiided again. It's like Rhinestones. Josh Giddey had been filling in pretty well for Gilgeous Alexander. I think he's probably a stream when Shea sits, by and large. You got a better game here out of Lu Dort, who's typically more of a three-point stream when Shea sits. And then Isaiah Joe and Aaron Wiggins each had pretty good ball games also, but I don't think I'm taking the plunge on those dudes. Wiggins would be the easier one to maybe consider, but I Jalen Williams was the other guy that was out in this ballgame. I don't know why that took me so long. And then other Jalen Williams had 6-6 and 12 goofball lineups. If Jalen Williams and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander are out again, I think you could probably go Dort, Giddey, and Chet. I don't know that I would go Wiggins. He'd be the next one. And then everybody else would be pretty far down the board. For Philly, still no Maxey. That's going to be the other one that changes things pretty dramatically here. Tyrese Maxey out, so Cam Payne had 10 rebounds in this game somehow. I hate Cam's 9-cat game. It never quite sticks in 9-cat. You can play him in points leagues while Maxey's out if you want. That's Cam Payne we're talking about. Kyle Lowry, no. Nick Batum, no. Buddy Hield, no. Paul Reed had 12-9 with a block, but as Embiid ramps up, he's done, so no. And then Oubre, I think I'm a yes while Maxey's out. When Maxey comes back, I don't know that there's going to be enough shot out there for Oubre to hit his value. He's going to be more open, so that's good, but is there enough available to do? So for now, just hold on. That's the, like with Oubre, you don't want to pre-drop, just to hold until you're forced to not to. So Embiid, Oubre, Tobias Harris, those are the three guys you're playing right now. And then when Maxey comes back, probably play them all or bench Oubre and see how that goes. But the rest of these guys fall back over to the wayside. Houston falls at Minnesota. They were competitive in this ballgame. Make no mistake, the Rockets have continued to be competitive. But as I mentioned, the schedule got tougher again. They had a very, like, epically light stretch of the calendar, and they very much capitalized on it. But now they've lost to the Mavs, they've lost to the Timberwolves, they've got the Warriors tomorrow, the Heat on Friday, the Mavs again on Sunday, the Magic next Tuesday, and then finally they have two more easy games. But they'll probably be eliminated by then. Sorry, Rockets fans. You made a pretty good run at it, but they're back to being three games back of the Warriors. With seven games to go, each of those teams has seven games left. That, to me, is probably too much ground to make up. And who knows, maybe the Warriors could tumble over themselves, but they're playing really well right now. Warriors have beat the Heat, the Magic, the Hornets, the Spurs, and then the Mavs. Three of those pretty good wins. And beat the Heat and the Magic on the road last week. They've got the Rockets, as we just talked about, so Houston could gain a game there, and the Mavericks again for the Warriors after that, but they also have the Jazz twice and the Blazers among their last five ball games. I think we have an idea of the ten teams, I'll get this right, in the Western Conference playoff picture, but I guess you never know. Freddie Van Vliet, Amen Thompson, Jabari Smith Jr., Jalen Green are all startable for the Rockets right now. Keep an eye on Cam Whitmore if they get eliminated and anybody else starts to sit out some ball games. For the Timberwolves, Rudy Gobert, Anthony Edwards, Mike Conley, Naz Reid, and then Slo-Mo is your rebound, assist, steals specialist who did more than that in this ballgame. And, you know, there's no obvious reason for it to be a big or small game for Kyle Anderson. Guys didn't leave this one. Jaden McDaniels just only played 27 minutes. They liked what Slo-Mo was doing more. They mixed and matched a little bit. Now, if Kyle gets 30 minutes, then he's a start in all formats. And you can see it in this ballgame. 13, 6, and 9. 2 steals, 2 blocks, and 6 out of 8 shooting. When he's stuck in that 24-25 range, he's, again, much more of a specialist. So I think what I called him on a previous show was a doesn't-matter guy with upside, because he's got those few categories that are nice, and last 3 weeks he's been inside the top 100 because there is that little bit of extra if Gobert misses a game or Edwards misses a game or Conley misses a game or Naz misses a game, then he gets that bonus bump. And then sometimes he just gets a bonus in a game where the team is largely healthy. So I don't think that Kyle Anderson is going to be like the top 50, top 60 guy he was last year when Kat was out. But even, you know, 90 range would still be good enough to start in most formats, unless you don't need threes, basically, or points. He's not going to be a big points guy. But boards, assists, field goal percent, steals, those are things he can give you a positive in. And you just, again, hope he doesn't shoot free throws or turn it over too much, and you get a decent ball game like this one. So Slo-Mo, doing enough. Doing enough, and certainly enough after a good ball game. This is a time when you can be a little bit more optimistic about him. Cleveland, I mean, took care of business. You know that Utah's not trying to win games right now. No Donovan Mitchell. So if you thought Darius Garland might do more, I have bad news for you. Darius Garland, one of the worst picks this year, unquestionably. A lot of guys are getting heat, and it should be Garland because not only has he been bad, but he's also missed a lot of ball games. He's outside the top 100 per game, 117. He's down there with frickin' Buddy Hield. Bad year for Darius. Way overdrafted on the hope that his assists would carry him, and they did not. But anyway, you got no choice but to play him at this point because, you know, if Donovan Mitchell's sitting on half of the back-to-backs, well, there you go. Caris LeVert is a stream when Donovan Mitchell sits. Max Strus, probably a stream when someone sits, but he's honestly, he just looks better now that his knee is healed up. So Strus, kind of a doesn't-matter guy with some built-in upside. Sam Merrill hit 6 more three-pointers, but again, you're playing with fire there, because if he doesn't hit any three-pointers, you're going to get like a 2.1 rebound ball game because he's not going to play. If you need threes badly, okay, fine, but be warned, it can go sour. For the Jazz, yes, if you thought everybody was out, you'd be wrong, because Walker Kessler left this ballgame early after getting his nose broken. I don't know if he's going to play in the next one. He might miss a game or two. He might get masked and play immediately. We don't know yet for Utah. What this means is that Colin Sexton is basically the only safe play left for the Jazz, and then you have a bunch of guys that are not particularly safe, but some of whom have a little bit of upside. The highest floor play probably becomes Omer Yurtseven if Kessler misses time, because he'll just play 30 center minutes and get 10 points and 8 rebounds probably and maybe block a shot. And he's not going to do a whole lot to help your fantasy team, but he's probably not going to do that much to hurt it either. I think we've all seen enough of Keyonte George at this point to say, okay, Dan, you might have been right about the whole like 9 category issues thing. Keyonte is a points league option, and that's it. Taylor Hendricks is intriguing now that the whole team is out. Remember when only like 2 guys were out for Utah and I was like, I don't think there's quite enough for him to do. Well, now you got like 5 key guys out. Who, Lauri Markkanen, Jordan Clarkson, Walker Kessler, John Collins. Am I forgetting someone or is it those 4? In any event, that's like freaking 60 shots back in the pool for everybody else to take. And so now Hendricks, if he gets 13 shots, and he's probably startable because he's not a bad rebounder. He didn't do much in this ball game, but he'll probably get, if he plays 27 to 32 minutes, he'll probably get 6 to 8 rebounds. Score a little bit because he won't have a choice. Get a steal or a block or some combination thereof. So, yeah, I mean, I think you can probably pick up Taylor Hendricks, see how this stretch run goes. And then Bryce Sensabaugh now with two good ball games in a row. He will cool off, friends. And the question becomes, is there enough other stuff going on? And the honest-to-goodness answer is, I don't know yet. I don't think any of us really, truly knows if Bryce Sensabaugh has a translatable fantasy game yet. Because we've never seen it. You can try to guess. You can try to extrapolate. I mean, dude's a rookie, so the sample size is extraordinarily small. Handful of games. You know, he played 32 minutes back on March 9th. He had 16-2, 3 assists, 3 steals, 5 turnovers in that ball game. Last two games, he scored 22 points in each of them, going 14-for-28, so 50% shooting. He's also at 5.5 three-pointers in those games, which, again, you know, you want to talk about not sustainable. What I think we don't know really is what is the rebound number going to settle at? 5? Assists, what's that going to settle at? 3? Can he get a steal per ball game? Maybe. 1? Feels like around 1 in 30 minutes. 22 points is probably not going to stick. So what are we going to get out of Bryce Sensabaugh? 14, 15 points, 5 boards, 3 assists? That's not bad. It's one of those things now, we're at that time of the year where I could say, oh, we want to get out in front of this thing, but like, what do we got, 15 days of the season left at this point? So what are we even going to try to get out in front of? The only reason to pick somebody up at this point in the year is to play them. You're not squatting on somebody, because what are you going to get? 2 games out of them if you wait a week? I will personally say I am not confident enough to pick up and start Bryce Sensabaugh in the next ball game, and maybe that means I miss a good one. But I there are just so many guys available right now in leagues that I don't feel like you have to take a chance on someone. Probably a coin flip for Sensabaugh that he puts up a nine-cat usable line in his next ball game. Probably a coin flip. I'd say Hendricks is probably a little better than a coin flip. And then obviously Colin Sexton and Omer Yurtseven is probably a little better than a coin flip too, provided all of these guys remain out for the next ball game. Spurs lost to Chidi Osman in this ball game, so the backup to the backup to the backup now. We're going to have to go a little deeper. So, obviously, Wemby, 23-15-8 with a steal and 9 blocks on, 29 shots. I didn't see that last night. 31% shooting on 29 shots. Trey Jones triple-doubled. He's in a great spot here with no Vassell, no Sohan, now no Osman. The list goes on and on. Well, most of these guys, with the exception of Osman, have been ruled out for the year for the Spurs. So, you know, what we saw in this ball game is probably what repeats itself for the Spurs maybe the rest of the way. Meaning, Malachi Branham, 24 points. Very good points league option. Branham, not a good percentages guy, and he doesn't do much else besides score. Julian Champagny is the one I would look at for 9-cat. 11-5, 2 assists, a steal block, and a 3-pointer. He can get steals and blocks. We've seen that in... I mean, honestly, at this point for Champagny, we have, a good enough sample size to say that if given starters-level minutes, he can probably get about 12 points, a steal, and a block-ish. Now, if you look back at last year, he wasn't really getting either of them. So I guess the question is this year the outlier or was last year the outlier? He's not going to shoot all that well. He was at 46% last year. He's at 40% this year. And his shot profile hasn't changed all that much either. But decent foul shooter, should he get to the line. He's at 81% on the year. Now that the minutes are there, you're looking at probably more like probably 4-ish rebounds, over 2 assists, steal a block, and maybe 2 three-pointers. I think I might take a shot on Champagny. Also, the usage is going to increase here because you've taken guys that chuck a little bit out of the equation. Chuck is probably not fair because Vassell's pretty good, actually. And then Sohan's not what you'd call a chucker, but not a very good shooter. Still, those are guys that were doing stuff when they were out on the basketball court. And now that stuff has to go to somebody. And it's not all going to go to Malachi Branham, although it kind of looked like it did yesterday. So, yeah, I think Champagne can repeat a line like this one. 11-5-2 with a steal block and a three-pointer. That's kind of a middle. That may be sort of the average. And that's not bad. That's usable anywhere you need defensive stats or basically a guy to kind of give you a little bit of a lot of stuff. A little Max Strusian, I guess. So probably not a ton of upside. I don't think he's going inside the top 75, but you could get probably 100 to 120 range out of him, and that'd play a little bit. No real news on Denver. Still no Jamal Murray. Reggie Jackson continues to be a very bad nine-category fill-in. But if you badly need a couple of points and a couple of assists, he's probably worth a shot there. But I don't, so I didn't. Nice 16-rebound game for Michael Porter Jr., though. How about them apples? Clippers are not good these days. No Kawhi Leonard, so that certainly played a role. And that meant Norman Powell got the fill-in start, and he was fine, but nothing spectacular. So you go Paul George, you go Ivica Zubats, and you go James Harden, who was awful also. Russ had 20 points, I don't care. And you're not doing anything else. You're not going any farther with that Clippers team. For the Kings, again, no Kevin Huerter and no Malik Monk. So you get this sort of different look, which meant more shots for Keegan Murray. That's really good for him. Harrison Barnes was someone I thought might do a little bit more as kind of a points play. I didn't want anything else besides that. He was bad. Trey Lyles outplayed him, and so Trey Lyles ended up being a slightly better play in this game. But you're not doing anything in 9-cat with either of those guys. Again, with Barnes, I guess, okay, so a 9-cat with Barnes, if you badly need points, some threes, and the percentages not to kill you, that would be a possible play, and he probably does end up in the 100 to 150 range with all those other guys out. I also think Keon Ellis ends up in that range. He fouled out in 22 minutes, if you're wondering why Ellis's minutes were much lower in this game. Fouled out in 22 minutes despite being a plus 11 during the only 22 minutes he was on the floor in a game that they won by 14. So basically, he was part of the lineups that were building the lead. With Barnes, it wasn't a foul issue. With Barnes, Trey Lyles was just better. He out Harrison Barnes did Harrison Barnes. So hold on to Ellis if you need boards and boards and not the right word, like a smattering of rebounds, assists, and very good shot at defensive stats. And again, just assume that this was a little goofy because again he fouled out. He's gonna guard somebody important on the other team, James Harden perhaps. Who goes 1-for-7 shooting and barely could get himself involved? 5 turnovers. You don't think Keon Ellis played a role in that? Keegan Murray, good defense too. Kings have upped their defense a lot since they went to this Keon Ellis-centric team, and that's going to help them. This team is more dangerous come playoff time than people realize because of that. Mavs needed to get something out of their bench in this game, and they didn't. They didn't. I believe the Mavs bench scored 13 points in this game. Not great, Bob. Tim Hardaway Jr. had 7 of them. Now, to be fair, Luka, Kyrie, and PJ Washington pretty much took every shot in the game. And, I don't know that PJ taking every shot was the greatest idea on earth, but he took them. And when he does, he puts up some fantasy value. But I still prefer Kyrie, Luka, and Gafford as the three guys I'm playing. Derek Lively out, so Maxi Kleba back into the rotation a little bit. And nobody cared. And for the Warriors, this is a really interesting run the Warriors are on right now, and it's fueled heavily by a Draymond Green renaissance. 11-8-6, 4 steals and a block. I think he has 10 steals in his last 2 ball games. This is like vintage Draymond. I guess he smells the finish line now and realizes that they didn't win a few games in a row. They were going to lose that last playoff spot, play-in spot to the Rockets. Andrew Wiggins is a hold. He's been better lately. Steph has been kind of average lately. He'll be fine. Chris Paul, I believe, is a drop. I know he had 14-5, so a slightly better line here, but not playing enough minutes. Brandon Podziemski had a better game, but he had 3 or 4 bad ones in a row, so no. And then Trayce Jackson-Davis, much slower ball game here, but he's a hold. And, the Mavs just pick centers apart, so Warriors tried something different. There isn't anybody coming for Jackson Davis's 20 to 25 minute role, and if you need big man stats, he's a really good solution there. And again, you just sort of pray that he doesn't go to the free throw line. If you're actually giving a crap about free throws anyway. Question about a couple of guys that didn't play yesterday. Trendon Watford and Andre Drummond. I'll talk about those guys here before we wrap up our first of two shows today. Trendon Watford is intriguing. I believe right now that if everything stayed exactly as it is in this moment for Brooklyn, meaning in their last ball game, Cam Johnson, I believe, sat that one out because it was a back-to-back. He was resting. If that's the case, and obviously no Ben Simmons, then Watford probably deserves a spot on rosters as kind of like a 100 range guy, 100 to 125, 130. If one more wing goes down, then I probably play Watford in a games cap format. But in my opinion, we're still one guy away. It's close. It's very close. But I think we're still one guy away. And then Andre Drummond, you know, his value is very much locked up in rebounding, and lately he's been gobbling him up even at a fast clip for Drummond. So, you know, specialist-y, look at your board, look at your team, look at your opponent, figure out if you actually need rebounds at all. And if you do, congratulations, because he's going to get you, well, lately he's going to get you 10, and on the year he's going to get you 9. So, you know, great, but you can't rely on anything else. He's an historically bad free throw shooter. His field goal percent is probably going to be decent, but he's not going to take more than 6-7 shots a ball game most of the time. So, you know, 3 out of 6, 4 out of 6 kind of stuff. So boards, some field goal percent, I wouldn't count on anything else from Drummond, which makes him a probably 100 to 150 range, or maybe even deeper than that, 100 to 200 range, 1-2 category, hyper specialist play. I have him in one league. I did add him in one league where I am violently attacking rebounds, but otherwise he tends to do more damage than harm. In that league, for instance, a couple of things that I had to look at were, okay, what's the separation between my team and the next one lower than me in free throw percent? Meaning, can I withstand a week of Andre Drummond's bad free throw and not lose any ground in that category? And the answer I came up with was generally yes. And I kind of looked around like, do I need points? Not that really. My team's kind of mid-pack, and we're not going up and down in points. Probably not going up and down in steals or blocks all that much, although he's you know, okay in those. Assists, I don't really need all that badly. So I looked at this, and I was like, you know, my best shot to win is to forego a couple of categories and just hammer rebounds. And so I picked him up. But under most circumstances, he's not a guy that I'm super high on. Drummond, I should say, as more than like a 140, 150 range dude with the ultimate in specialist appeal. All right, I think we can take a break. When I say break, I mean a couple hours. We'll come back. We will get you the streaming show after lunch today. And then if you guys still want to hear more, Dan, I'll actually be on the call for USC Santa Barbara baseball that's happening later on tonight. That'll be not on our YouTube page. That'll be on the USC Trojans athletic page. So you can get 3 Dan shows, with that last one being like 3.5 hours long. Thought I just heard my dog growling at someone. Probably should have wrapped up the show before that started. I am Dan Vespers. I forgot to do any promo today, but please, everybody, please, 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 if you have a moment, I really badly, badly need you all to leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Please go do it. I know that it's probably too late and most of you have stopped listening because your leagues are over, but please go drop a 5-star review. And if you're brand new to the show, find a way to subscribe, whether if it's on Twitter, you follow me there, or, you know, roll on over to YouTube and subscribe there. I would strongly recommend subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, or some other traditional pod listening implement, because some of our shows in the off season will not be on YouTube and on Twitter as well. Some are going to be audio only when, you know, kids are off for summer break or whatever, and I can't really count on having 30 quiet minutes in a row, which feels like a very small thing to ask, but it's a pretty big luxury when you have 2 young children in your house. And right now I don't, because they're both at their various school or preschool. But in the summertime, they'll be home for stretches, and heaven help us all, but we may have to record those shows and then kind of release them after the fact, because I'll probably have to edit out screaming. Is Cade playing? Reynaldo asks. I don't know. We'll find out in a few hours. He's questionable for every ball game. They're, you know, picking and choosing a little bit. I would assume he is, unless someone tells me otherwise. The Pistons have a back-to-back on Friday and Saturday. So I would expect he sits one half of that. He sat out both halves of their last back-to-back, but I can't find another game that he didn't play that wasn't attached to a back-to-back. All the games he's had off lately have been either the front, back, or both ends of a back-to-back. So I'm assuming he's playing tonight, unless someone tells me otherwise. And then over the Friday-Saturday ones, he probably misses at least one of those two ball games. And what about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? I don't know. He got ruled out in the last one. I mean, that means he's hurt. That's the best way to describe it. Like, they're fighting for a one seed, and you know they want it because home court matters in the NBA these days, like a lot for most teams. Thunder 29-8 on their home court. They're good on the road, make no mistake. They're still 23-15, but you want to have as many games on the court where you're as good as possible. Nuggets are better at home. Wolves, oddly, are almost the same home and road, so they're the only one in that top three where it's like, maybe they don't care that much, but I think their organization would rather get the, you know, concession sales from a home playoff game. Teams want home games, with the exception of the Wolves, the Clippers, and the Mavericks, who... Oh, and the Pelicans. That's weird. There are a lot of Western Conference teams that are not that different. And then you got a team like the Lakers that's 15 games over 500 at home and 5 under on the road, 20 swing, and they're going to be on the road everywhere they go in the playoffs. Anyway, I think the Thunder care. They're good at both, but 4.5, 5 games better at home. That ain't nothing. So if Shai can play, he'll play. So I think he's hurt right now. I think he's hurt. So I think Cade probably misses this ball game because I don't think he was sitting the last one out for rest. I think if he sits, he's probably actually dinged up. But nothing we can really do this morning, 10:23 a.m. Pacific time. There's like nothing I can do right now to say I know for sure. We'll find out in a little bit. This is silly season. Anything is possible. He could have just been resting. It felt like he actually was hurt because, you know, there's no reason. Like, you might as well play your guys in the easier game of a back-to-back to sort of lock up one win, as opposed to now, if he comes back to play Boston, they might end up losing both of these games. Be a weird phenomenon. All right. Well, that was, you know, another 6 minutes of yammering that I wasn't planning on. Again, we'll be back in a couple of hours with a streaming show. Once again, I want to remind everybody, today, tomorrow, Friday, those will be our last two show a day days of this NBA season. Starting on the weekend, I don't think I'm going to have time to do a streaming show on Saturday because kid stuff all morning and the games will start by the time I'm home. Sunday, there is a possibility I might be able to get you that last day of the week streaming show. Monday, we will do a weekly preview show. You know, Monday we might do two shows. Weekend review, one, and then a weekly preview with the other. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of next week will be single shows. There's no reason to do a streamer show in the last week of the season because most head-to-head leagues are over, and the ones that do exist, you're basically just watching the wire the whole time because half of your guys are going to get ruled out at the last minute. There's really no reason to long stream the last week because all those guys are going to skip two games anyway. So if I did a streaming show the last week, I would just come on air and go, "Hey everybody, it's me, Dan Bespris. Remember, just watch the news. Rotate healthy guys in, rotate dead guys out. The end. Bye-bye." And that also is the end of this show. I'll see you guys in about two and a half hours for a streamer. I'm Dan Bespris for SportsEthos.com and Fantasy NBA Today. I'll see you in a little bit.